Today is Rhode Island's junior United States Senator, John Hubbard Chafee. At this stage of events, it appears quite likely that Senator Chafee will be a candidate for re-election next year to the most exclusive club in the world, the U.S. Senate. In fact, he told me the other day he probably will raise a campaign chest of $1 million or more. It has been in the past, and so it is now. He is an excellent detail man. Mr. Chafee spends every available minute back here in Rhode Island, his home state, deep in the hinterlands, talking with the electorate to determine what's on their collective minds. During the past couple of weeks, two possible Democratic candidates for Senator Chafee's post have been interviewed on press conference. Former Attorney General Junius Michelson and a Rhode Island business executive, Marvin Harlan. Today, among other things, I intend to ask Senator Chafee his reaction to Budget Director David Stockman's extraordinary criticism of President Reagan's economic program. Welcome to our press conference again, Senator Chafee, and let's begin our conversation with the now much-discussed verbal bombshell of David Stockman, which was published in the Atlantic Monthly. Mr. Stockman was quoted in great detail as saying that President Reagan's tax cuts would probably not revive the economy, and that his supply-side doctrines were nothing more than a Trojan horse for his tax relief to the rich. There's no question about it, Mr. Stockman stumbled, but so far he has managed to keep his job, even though some high office holders in the nation's capital feel he should be fired. Two questions, Senator. One, do you think that Stockman's remarks have done irreparable harm to the president's credibility? And two, do you think Mr. Stockman should be fired forthwith?
Well, first, Harry, I want to say I'm delighted to be back on your program, Radio Press Conference. As regards to Stockman's comments doing irreparable harm to the president, no, I don't think so. It was clear that he was not voicing the views of the president, and it seemed to me very curious that one of the criticisms of what Stockman said was that the efforts of the administration were to enlarge the opportunities for the rich under the tax bill. As perhaps you know, the big reduction in tax rates from 70% to 50%, that cut emerged from the House Ways and Means Committee controlled by the Democrats. Now, that wasn't in the original Reagan proposal, nor did it come from the Senate Finance Committee. It came out of Mr. Rostenkowski's committee in the House. Secondly, should Mr. Stockman be fired? No, I don't think so. I think that he is a very brilliant young man with tremendous abilities. He certainly knows that budget. I think he'll be a lot careful about choosing his words precisely when he's in rambling discussions with newsmen in the future.
What would get into a key man, particularly in the Reagan administration, the Senator Chafee, like that, to come out and make the statements that he did, apparently damaging statements, at least some people feel, to the president's credibility? I mean, this is it's a heyday for Tip O'Neill, wouldn't you say?
Oh, there's no question it is. But as you know, Harry, when one sits down with newsmen in a relaxed atmosphere, you and I have been to a dinner together. I remember we used to all go down to the URI campus in Exeter, and
I recall it very vividly.
And we'd sit there over dinner and chat, and the discussion would be rambling, and there'd be some flip remarks made. But certainly it was never with the intention that the remarks be written down, and I don't want to say taken out of context, but just shown as Stockman's statements were in the briefest of form. And so I think if you look overall what he said, he was a person who was finding the difficulties rather frustrating in trying to get the program through, and concerned whether the cuts had been too deep, that is the cuts in the taxes.
Now, the shock against his statement still reverberates on the Hill, and there is still feeling that he should go. Do you think that because of his statements that Mr. Reagan will have additional difficulty in getting his different programs through the Congress?
I think, yes, that for a while anyway, Mr. Stockman will better take a low profile, and there are other spokesmen, of course, for the economy, such as Donald Regan, the Secretary of the Treasury, and I think you'll see him come to the fore much more.
So in other words, you, like the President, would give Mr. Stockman another opportunity to prove himself.
That's right. I think he's been chastised. He's been sent to the woodshed, as he said, and I'd leave well enough alone. Let's get on. The crucial point here, Harry, is not Mr. Stockman staying or going. To me, that isn't a big element. The big element is, what are we going to do to get the federal budget under control, both the spending side and adequate revenues on the revenue side? I think the tax cuts in many instances were too deep. I voted, as you know, very strongly opposed the indexing of the tax system. I thought that some of the spending cuts in the education side were too deep, but in other areas, they weren't deep enough. Why they went ahead with the 10-tom or the Clinch River Breeder or things like that, I voted against them all, but we couldn't prevail.
Speaking of that, do you think on the face of it, would you describe the tax cuts as favorable to the rich?
Well, the top brackets, as I mentioned, have been reduced by the Democratic House Ways and Means Committee from 70% to 50%. The truth of the matter is, very few people were paying the 70%, and people were putting their money in all kinds of crazy tax shelters, which weren't good for the country, which weren't productive, which consumed all kinds of time by the few IRS agents we have, and it just wasn't right. Right way to have money invested. Hopefully we'll see greater investment in the economy than we've seen in the past.
Senator Chafee, as I'm talking with you, my thoughts go to the fact that when you were Secretary of the Navy, and certainly you had contact with the not-too-revered Admiral Hyman Rickover, who apparently is headed for retirement next year. I wonder if you could tell us very briefly what your thoughts were of him and what your contacts were with him.
Well, I don't think it's quite right, Harry, to say he was not too revered. He was revered by
some people,
by many, and there's no taking from Admiral Rickover the extraordinary achievements that he compiled in his nearly 50 years of service in the United States Navy.
You think at 81 he's ready for retirement?
I think he's ready for retirement. I think it's a proper thing for Secretary Lehman to do, and for Secretary Weinberger and for the President to support them. At 81, he'd had his time. He'd done marvelous things. It was time for somebody else to come in.
How about your contacts with him?
Well, my contacts with him were...
Did you get along with him?
Well, we got along. It was a very amicable relationship. He'd come over for lunch once in a while, and he wasn't a heavy eater, and he'd do a lot of the talking. He'd outline his ideas. The problem, of course, with Admiral Rickover was he was hardly a team player. If we arrived at a conclusion in the Navy Department, it didn't affect him at all. He went right about his business as though we didn't exist, and that's very hard to run an outfit when you've got people like that.
Senator, again, before we get into the next subject, what committees are you on, senatorial committee?
All right, I'm on the Environment and Public Works Committee. That's a committee that deals with highways. That's how I'm able to get the money, for example, for the Jamestown Bridge. It deals with federal buildings. That's the federal building in Providence came out of that committee as a result of my being there. I'm on the Finance Committee. And, of course, the Environment and Public Works deals with all the environmental programs. The EPA, that's where I've been so close to the Pachillo Pig Farm, and the efforts to clean up the hazardous waste there, or getting the money for the Trustram Pond Refuge down in South Kingston. That's all in one committee. The other committee I'm on is the Finance Committee, which deals with the taxation, with imports, with tariffs, all those type of matters. Thirdly, I'm on the Banking Committee, which I just went on this year, and Banking and Housing Committee. So there we're trying to make our efforts in the housing, although these high interest rates are very, very, make life very, very difficult for anybody involved in housing efforts. And finally, I'm on a smaller committee which isn't as time consuming as the others, the Intelligence Committee, which deals with supervision of the CIA.
Do you think it's important, or don't you, whether you should look for membership on the Armed Services Committee?
Well, Harry, you can only be in one of four major committees, Finance, Foreign Relations, Appropriations, or Armed Services. And I was not able, as you know, to be in the Armed Services Committee when I first went down there because of the time factor, I mean the seniority factor. And then when the opportunity came, I, by that time, of course, our Navy had been greatly reduced, well, long before I got to the Congress and Senate, and so I chose the Finance Committee because it's so important to the whole area of Social Security, for example. That all, it's all dealt with by the Finance Committee.
Senator Chafee, most of Europe, as you very well know, is jittery, afraid of the possibility of a nuclear war. Strong anti-American feeling has been voiced in many sections. The other day, President Reagan made a strong plea aimed at Russia to draw many of its anti-nuclear weapons already in place and withdraw them and minimize them, saying that the United States would follow suit. Russia immediately snapped back to an unusual and yet. How effective do you think the president's appeal will be to the rest of the world?
I think the president's appeal will be very effective to the rest of the world, and of course it was primarily directed at Western Europe.
It was propaganda, wasn't it?
No, it's not. That's unfair, Harry, to say that. It was not propaganda.
Public relations?
No, I don't think it's public relations when you make an offer to reduce or eliminate, go to zero, on all intermediate range missile systems. I'm astonished that you'd say that, because he said, let's end the whole business. You don't have any and we won't have any. You won't have your SS-20s, your SS-4s and 5s. We won't have the Pershing 2s and the ground-launched missiles and ground-launched cruise missiles. Now, there's a fair proposal. Get them all out. And then, of course, we would immediately go into our discussions on the intercontinental ballistic missiles, the so-called SALT, which now he calls START, strategic arms reduction talks. And that makes sense. I don't think it's propaganda. I think it's the most serious single thing we face in the world.
Senator Chafee, public relations in this respect, as you very well know, the president called an unusual conference at the National Press Club, a hurry-up conference, with an audience of nothing but newsmen and newswomen for last week. That's what I meant by public relations, and he called it for the unusual hour of 10 o'clock in the morning. He wanted to beam it to Europe before the Russian leaders had a chance to visit Germany.
Well, I don't think who you speak to, I mean, oftentimes very significant talks on international affairs are given to a gathering of postal workers, for example. So I don't think that what the group was that he spoke to, he doesn't have to. Well, would you feel better if he was speaking to the Foreign Relations Council of America and or some group such as that? I don't think people are restricted to their remarks solely to what the group is before them. And the time actually turned out that the press club had a luncheon that day with the president of Venezuela, so the only time the president could get was at 10 o'clock. So I don't think the time of the day was important. And as you know, the talks are coming up. They're starting on November 30th. So he wanted to get his proposals before the world prior to those talks. I think that's perfectly proper.
Senator Chafee, how would you describe present business climate in the United States?
Well, unquestionably, people are very, very cautious now. They're not making the capital investment. They're not making the plans for the future. They're nervous.
And are we in a recession?
Well, the president has said it. The statistics indicate that gross national product is declining, and I don't want to label it one way or another.
Why not?
I'm not an economist. I don't know where things turn from a recession to a depression to good times to bad times.
Businessmen come to you for advice. What do you say to them? Business is good, business is bad, business is not so good, or what?
Businessmen don't come to me for advice on whether business is good or business is bad. They know that. The home builders, business is terrible. Anybody associated with the lumber business, which is tied in with the home building, business is terrible. We know that. They don't have to tell me.
Automobile business.
The automobile business, terrible.
Housing.
Well, I mentioned housing, but some things like office computers, the business is good. But the times aren't the best. There's no question about that. And it's my hope that we can get the interest rates down, and that means getting this budget balance, and getting the budget balance doesn't always mean cutting the spending. It also means paying attention to the revenues, and that's why I think that the tax cut went too far in some instances.
The president says the budget cannot be balanced by 84.
Well, I wish it would be, and if it could be, we should strive. Obviously, it can be. He doesn't anticipate it being. But what we've got to show is a steady trend in that direction, and it certainly won't be helpful if we have a very substantial deficit in 82.
You're certainly, by virtue of the fact that you are a senator, near information on economy and trends and so forth. What do you? What do the economists say to you about a turnaround insofar as the business slump is concerned? Is it going to be next year, or the middle of next year, the end of the first quarter of next year, or when?
Well, you've heard Murray Wiedenbaum, the chairman of the Economic Advisers, who has said that it'll be in the second half of next year. All economists shoot with a little bit of guess, as we know, and that was one of the criticisms of David Stockman. Was he said, we're working with figures we don't know the answers to. We don't know whether these are real figures. I don't know why everybody got upset over that comment, because any time you're dealing with projections, you don't know the figures, whether they're right. Who knows what the interest rates are going to be, what the inflation is going to be, what the unemployment is going to be next year. All those figures are just by guess.
That comes in a bad year, election year, having a business slump, doesn't it, Senator?
Well, I'd far prefer election year, no year. I want times prosperous.
$1 for your campaign chest. I'd ask you again, why do you need so much money?
Because going advertising on radio stations such as WEAN is expensive, Harry, and television is expensive, and taking...
You know, the manager, maybe we can get it for you wholesale.
Well, I hope you can. Television, taking polls, all those things are expensive. And I intend to go into this campaign well-financed. I anticipate by the end of this calendar year, 1981, we'll have raised close to $500,000. And I'm serious. No question about that.
Well, there's no question about that. Just talking with you would give one that impression. When you say $500,000 and so forth, or $1 million, or better than $1 million, are you shutting the door on a qualified man with no money to run for office?
No.
How can he possibly do it without any money?
Well, first of all, he's got to have some issues. Secondly, he got to have some kind of experience, and that's up to that person. All kinds of candidates that can run and raise the money if they put the effort into it.
Actually, the Senate of the United States is a rich man's club anyway, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so. We've got there our rich men there. There are mediumly wealthy people there, and there are people who are no richer than
John Chafee,
than a host of other people in the country.
You didn't say John Chafee, did you?
I don't know where I fit in that.
Senator Chafee, as you visit every nook and cranny in Rhode Island, what significant benefit are you telling the people today they are receiving because of your presence in the nation's capital?
In the nation's capital, in the form of their Senator John Chafee, they have somebody there who has a long acquaintance and knowledge of their problems and issues in Rhode Island, somebody who has the energy to get in there and battle for them. When Electric Boat had problems with the Navy, I just didn't sit there and wring my hands and say, isn't this too bad? I got in there and rolled up my sleeves and went to it, and as a result, we got that matter settled. And when the Pachillo pig farm has hazardous waste all over it, I don't just say, isn't that too bad, and go back to reading the Providence Journal or whatever it is. I went into it and got the largest single sum of money in the United States to clean up that project. And so it is with a host of other areas, whether it's the getting a new Jamestown Bridge or doing something about the environment, acquiring new wildlife refuges, or getting a federal building for the city of Providence. People have talked about that federal building for the last 6 years, or 10 years, I guess, but nothing happened. And I went down there and got in the Environment and Public Works Committee and worked on it and obtained that federal building. So that's what they're getting for John Chafee, somebody who produced results and somebody who's a thoughtful representative for them down in Washington.
Senator, you're a freshman, so to speak, not so to speak.
Harry, I would point out that, yes, I am in my first term, but 54% of the senators in the United States Senate are in their first term. Over half the senators are in their first term.
Do you have, when you go back, certainly you are going to run for re-election, aren't you?
I don't think that's in doubt.
That's a foregone conclusion.
I think you can accept that.
Get the family jewels on it?
I'd be prepared to do so, yeah.
Take out a second mortgage?
Well, I'm not encouraging gambling now, Harry.
Now, I'd like to know, what are you telling the people if you send me back to Washington? What is bright ahead? What is the light at the end of the tunnel? What are you going to fight for?
Well, I'm going to continue to fight for jobs. That's always, you've covered me, Harry, I think ever since I've been in public life, going way back to when I was in the legislature.
Lots of pleasure, too.
And well, it's been a pleasure for me to have that friendship with you over these many years. And you're a straight shooter, and you call them as they are. And as you know, my primary concern has been jobs for Rhode Islanders. And I will continue those efforts, doing everything I can to provide the best business climate so that we can have jobs, to provide the best education for our young people so that they'll be able to hold down worthwhile places in the community in their future.
As a matter of fact, as my memory serves me, you fought cuts in education, isn't that correct?
There's no question about that, yes. As you know, I presented the $1 billion amendment to restore money for education and for weatherization programs, low-income fuel assistance, and programs such as that.
What about equal rights? Where do we stand on that?
Well, equal rights is a matter that constantly requires attention. Just because we've passed some laws, I don't think everybody should just dust their hands and say, well, that's taken care of. It requires both attention by every individual to recognize that the Constitution of the country says all people are created equal. And let's do everything we can to make that a truth and an actuality. Furthermore, there have been some suggestions that the existing laws, such as the voting rights law, be gutted. I'm just dead set against that. I don't think the greatest achievements that have been made by the minorities in the country, in the U.S. in the last 20 years, have come about because of the federal laws, and I think we ought to keep them.
Senator Chafee, we're approaching another winter in New England, in Rhode Island. What about the availability of oil, gasoline, and the price of both commodities?
I think as of now it appears that first, as far as supply goes, I think there'll be an abundant supply. I haven't seen any warning signals on that. As far as price, we all know that that's a risky thing to predict price, but it does appear that the price will remain stable. I'm not going to go predicting it'll drop. I think that we'd be surprised if that happened. Maybe there'll be some small drop in price, but I don't think it'll be of significant. I anticipate the price remaining stable.
Senator, there are some people in the Congress who would like to make dramatic changes in the Social Security system. What do you think about that?
The whole object of attention to the Social Security system should be to keep the Social Security fund solvent so that those who are now drawing Social Security will continue to receive their benefits, and those who anticipate receiving the benefits will have those benefits there in the future. And people have got to be aware that there are potentially some severe problems with the Social Security fund. And it does no good to say we'll sweep them under the rug and they'll go away and pay no attention.
Are you saying there may be modifications later on?
I'm saying that we've got to pay attention to the solvency of this fund.
And we've made some changes, you know, some inter-fund borrowings, it just behooves every serious citizen to watch that fund carefully and to make sure that every step we take is to preserve the fund. That means that for those collecting in the future.
Senator Chafee, again, assuredly, another thorny issue that will come up at every interview that you'll be in is the issue of abortion. What is your position, your clear-cut position on that?
Well, I, as you know, have always been opposed to a constitutional change in the federal constitution dealing with that subject. My position is very clear.
Are you for the Hatch Amendment?
Well, I must confess that I'm not completely familiar with the Hatch Amendment.
I think that gives the power to the states.
Yes, I've got to look into that. It's really just come to the fore. As you know, it hasn't even moved out of the subcommittee, never mind the full committee, so it hasn't been high on our attention. We've been wrestling with all kinds of other problems down there, so I haven't gotten around to the definite attention to the Hatch.
Senator, here back in Rhode Island, have you got anyone?
But I don't want you, by my statement here, that I'm not familiar with it. The Hatch Amendment, frankly, has not been a major consideration down in Washington. I would be very surprised if it even came out of committee this year. So I don't want anybody to suggest...
It's getting a heavy play in the news.
Well,
that's why
I've seen that, but that doesn't indicate my failure to have complete knowledge of it at this time. Doesn't indicate in any way I'm for it. I don't take that as a given. I'm just saying that the Hatch Amendment, frankly, I haven't concentrated on it. To me, I'm always skeptical of these attempts to change the Constitution.
Senator, what about, I'm wondering, as election year is just a year away, but still the time is close, but it is far away. I'm wondering if your party has a number of candidates that are suitable to run for governor?
I don't know about that. John Holmes, the party chairman, has done an excellent job in getting candidates and talking to various candidates. As you know, it's not traditional to have a long list of candidates way in advance, particularly in the Republican Party. So I wouldn't take anything by the fact that we don't have a full slate announced yet. I know he is talking to others, but I don't think we've ever had a slate of candidates this far in advance. Nor do the Democrats. Who's running against Mr. Schneider? Your guess is as good as mine. Undoubtedly there'll be a candidate, but certainly I have no idea who it'll be now.
Senator Chafee, our time is up. My guest today in press conference is Rhode Island's junior United States Senator John Hubbard Chafee. Thank you for being with us, Senator, and lots of good luck.
Thank you very much, Harry, and very best to all your listeners.
Now this is Harry McKenna saying thank you for listening and wishing you all a very pleasant good day.